Hey, Brighton, I know you play baseball, don't you? Yeah? How's that going? Good? You like that? I remember my baseball days and coaching and helping kids. And matter of fact, you're going to hear a story about that later for the adults. But do you like your coach, Brighton? Yeah. And coaches are good because they offer us encouragement. And they help us. And they help us bat. They help us throw the ball. But they keep us positive that we can do it. That you can go out there and hit that home run, or you can catch that ball. And that's what today's message is going to be about, is encouragement on, you know, God is our coach, and He encourages us all the time. And He wants us to hit that home run and have good plays and do good things in life. So there's another thing in our verse today which talks about praying constantly. And Mary, one time we used to pray as a baseball team once in a while before a game on the kids that wanted to. And, you know, God's always with us, and He wants us to talk to Him. So let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, thank You so much for loving us. Help us to follow Your ways and hold us close. In Jesus' name, amen.
Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Today's New Testament reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
This morning we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 to 18. In this message, or in this passage, Paul has a big statement for these folks, and it's a statement of encouragement. The Thessalonians were being encouraged as Christians in their faith, and Paul wanted to give them assurance and guidance towards Christ's return. That's kind of the purpose of the verse. About at this time when this writing took place, the church was about 2 or 3 years old. And the Christians there were still maturing in their faith. And they were somewhat confused about what the second coming of Christ meant. You see, at this time in history, if believing and following in Christ meant that you gave up everything. Because of their beliefs, because they would do that, they were stoned, they were beaten, they were crucified. And they were tortured until death. It's a rough time being a Christian then, wasn't it? Paul's mission here was to assure them of his love, to praise them for their faithfulness, and even though they were going through persecution, was to keep hope. Because Christ will return. So they needed encouraged, didn't they? Can you imagine going to church and being feared that the soldiers are going to come in and take our lives because we believe in Christ? That'd be a tough time to worship. But what we're going to look at today is the encouragement that Paul gives these Christians as practical advice for Christian living and to take hope in the reality of the second coming of Christ. As we all face struggles, trials, problems that life brings us, we still require and need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us, don't we? At least I do. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings us encouragement. And how does he do that? A lot of times it's through other people. It's through you and me. It's through each other. So while we're living life like we do, there are times when we get wore down, when we become weary, sad, kind of in the dumps. That's the point where we need encouragement. Sometimes we can't get that just from the radio program or from a song. Sometimes we need each other to help us with that. To encourage one another is a command. It's a command that's found throughout the whole Bible. To encourage means to inspire with courage and hope. You guys know those words like, that a boy, you go girl, great job, way to go, etc., etc. I'm sure you might have others. Words like that at the workplace or out in the public, that can put a smile on someone's face and make them feel better. You never know when that might just give that one person some hope if they're having a bad day. Power of encouragement. All right, I'm going to embarrass Nick now, so don't throw anything at me. When Nick was playing Little League, or Pee Wee, I had the great privilege of helping coach with him and his friends. These little guys would play their hearts out. And I mean, they'd play hard. Well, our record showed 2 wins and 10 losses at the end of the season. Yeah, it's not very good in the eyes of the other team. But you know, it came down to tournament week. And there we were. We had last place nailed. We were there. And I remember this pep talk. I said, guys, this game is up to you. I know we didn't have a very good season, but I want you all to go out and play the best you can with what you can, because you're all winners to me. So 3 games later, after all the baseball dust had cleared out, those little boys walked away with a second place trophy. Now, the encouragement from those boys' parents and from us coaches, I believed, helped them believe that there was hope, that there was still hope, that they could do it. And we left it up to them, and they did it. You never know what the results of encouragement can do for someone else. So starting with verse 14, Paul gives us examples on how we can encourage others as we live together in this world. Now I encourage you to keep in mind that these examples we're going to talk about are things that we should follow with Christians as well as with non-Christians. I'm going to read the NLT version of this verse one more time. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays evil back for evil, but always try to do good with each other and all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. To be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Jesus Christ. Okay, here in this verse, Paul's talking about 3 types of people, isn't he? If we read through it and look at the key words in there. First, he says those who are lazy. Those who are timid, those who are weak. Now, I'm sure we can all put ourselves into one of these slots now, maybe today, maybe in the past. In Eugene Peterson's paraphrased version of the New Testament, he says, get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Your counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on it. Gently encourage the stragglers. Reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with every person, attentive to individual needs. I've been around freeloaders before. It's frustrating. I've worked with them before, and I'm sure some of you have too. But I did discover that once in a while on a joint project, a few words of encouragement could change this person's attitude. So whether we're in a workplace or in a church, there will be people who will be constantly challenged to move forward. I think that was in my situation. I couldn't get this young man to move forward, and just through encouragement at the workplace, he became hopeful enough and became brave enough and strong enough to move forward with things. But what Paul is telling his readers here is, hey, warn these brothers and sisters that they need to get in line. Christ is going to come back someday, and they need to take it seriously and be prepared. That was Paul's meaning for this verse. In other words, he said, quit loafing and put it together. Quit being half-hearted. Do you know someone that's walking a religious fence who might be half-hearted? That's not a good place to be. I'm afraid that there are many like that, and there will be many like that when the day that Jesus Christ returns to this earth. But in the same way, there are those who are timid and weak. To be an encourager of these types of people, Paul tells us to give them comfort and help them. These are the folks that we need to lift up in prayer and show our loving kindness to them, as Christ shows all of us. I think I saw a good example of that this week in the Cambridge community with what went on there. Wow, it just blew my mind on the encouragement they gave that family and the support. So whatever type of people we're offering encouragement to, Paul makes this point at the end of verse 14. Be patient with everyone. There's a lesson of ministry in each one of us here, to be patient, to be sensitive. But let's be sensitive to each condition of each person that we come in contact with. Some might be lazy, some might be timid, some might be shy, some might be hurting. Are we listening? Are we listening so that we can offer them encouragement? Sometimes I don't, and you miss it. And then after you think about it, it's like, you know, I just missed an opportunity there. Paul gives us another warning in verse 15. He tells us not to seek revenge on one another. You know that old saying, don't get mad, but get even? No, sorry, that doesn't work in this circumstance. This is certainly no way to encourage another person. Here in verse 16, this is probably my favorite part, and if you heard nothing else I said this morning, please take this to heart. Paul says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. These are three commands from God in this verse as you study the Bible and what is being said here. They're commands. Be joyful. I'm not always joyful. I'm sure we all get that where we are just not joyful that day. That makes it hard. We're thinking of ourselves more than we are other people. And we lose that encouragement mode. We have to sometimes encourage ourselves just to, you know, go to work or just to function throughout the day. Do you remember that God is with you no matter what you're going through? Do you remember that He's in control of everything? Those are the words I have to remind myself a lot of times. Paul gave us this lesson from when he was in prison, is where he wrote this. He told us in Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. While he's sitting in prison, always be full of joy in the Lord. That'd be tough for most of us to write, sitting in a prison cell, especially back in Bible times. You see, it's an inner attitude that we can have. Think about it. It'd be very hard to encourage someone else if we ourselves are gloom and doom all the time. Our attitude doesn't have to reflect our circumstances. Remember last week we talked about circumstantial faith? You know, it does reflect an attitude. Paul also told us here, the other command was, never stop praying. Whether we like it or not, God is always with us, 24/7. Talk to Him. He likes to hear from us. I chat with Him all day long, and I need that strength. You know, that's just me personally. And I hope you guys talk to Him too. He's there to listen. The Bible tells us that. In Luke 18:1, Jesus taught his disciples that they should always pray and never give up. Those are powerful words to me. Jesus said to his disciples, and we are all his disciples now. We represent him. Always pray and never give up. As we persist in prayer, we grow in what? We grow in character, we grow in our faith, and we grow in our hope. Now remember that we said encouragement to inspire with courage or hope. Words to encourage someone else. Pray, never giving up. Be thankful in all circumstances. When you or someone else is down and out, trying to make a list of all God's gifts that he's given you, have you ever done that? That's hard to do when you're down and out, trying to think of all the positives. You're thinking more of the negative things. But God wants us to thank him for everything. And that's what Paul is trying to tell these Christians, even though they are going through persecution and trying to figure out where they're at in the life of their church. Evil doesn't come from God, and of course, we wouldn't thank him for that, would we? But when evil does come, we can still be thankful for God's presence and for the good that he is going to accomplish through the storm. I think this is one of the hardest things to do as a Christian, to thank God when you're in the midst of a major crisis. Most of the time, we're a quick society. We want God to just fix it so we can go on here. But the Bible encourages, there's that word again, encourages, in Romans 8:28 says, take heart in all things. God works for the good if we love him and are called by him. We don't thank God for our problems, but we do thank him for the strengths that he builds in us by the difficulties in our life. He is the perfect love that sees us through everything. All right, with these commands, when we decide to obey them, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. These are things that are telling us that we're being obedient to God. And guess what? In the end of that verse, it says, doing these things, you follow God's will. So we're following God's will when we do these things. And when we do these things, we begin to see people in a different perspective, and it becomes more sensitive to their needs instead of our own. We become better encouragers as we walk our talk, as it says in verse 14. In the words of author Joni Yoder, she said, words of encouragement can be life words, bringing new motivations to our lives. And one of my favorites, Mark Twain, he said that he could live a whole month on one good compliment. Power of words, encouragement to other people. Christian encouragement, however, is more than a compliment or a pat on the back. As valuable as these are, don't get me wrong, one writer describes it as the kind of expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian, even when life is tough. That's hard to see when we're going through life, isn't it? In chapter 5, in verse 9, it said, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us, so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. Comes this word again in verse 11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Paul's letter of encouragement here in 1 Thessalonians was written for instruction and encouragement for the new believers, but it meant the strength and to bolster people's resistance to persecution and temptation. He was trying to give them hope. The biggest point he was driving in here, that they needed to encourage each other, because Christ will come again someday and you guys better be ready. I think we all have a responsibility to help new believers grow in their faith, to encourage them, to help them mature. Like I talked about last week, that circumstantial faith where I saw a young man walk away and I don't think he ever came back. But keep in mind that we also have the responsibility to share the gospel of Christ with the non-Christians too. And if we're walking with God and He's walking with us, if we run into a circumstance like that, He'll give us the words to say to a non-Christian. We don't have to beat the Bible over their head. We don't have to throw scriptures at them, something that they won't understand. These things we've talked about, things that we can talk about with other Christians, non-Christians. Encourage them. Encourage them. Because they may see something in you and think, I don't know what that is, but I want that. So that opens the door up. That's what Jesus wants us to do, is open that door up by our encouragement. Some questions here. How important is it to take time to encourage others? You answer these on your own. Not only inside these walls, but on the outside of these walls. Are you helping those who need guidance? Are you looking for them? Are you seeing them? Are they coming to you on a daily basis, maybe at a restaurant, or maybe just walking down the street and right in front of you? Someone to encourage. Are you helping those who are struggling and weak? We all know folks like that throughout our communities. Are you helping those who are suffering? Are you encouraging others? We have opportunities. Christ gives us opportunities. Let's be like Paul writes. Let's be ready for it. Let's be like the Thessalonians and be ready to do these works, to encourage other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious word. We thank you for the instruction that you give us. Father, we open our hearts and our minds to you, just to help us live out your will and help us to live out and be encouragers to other people. Father, help us know and be confident that you are right beside us in every situation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.